Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Just going to read one verse tonight, verse 32. So why just one verse? Well, you'll see when I read it. I'm talking about heroes of the faith. A lot of heroes right here in this one verse. Heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Heavenly Father, help me do my best to expound the Word of God. It's been a blessing studying the book of Hebrews, and I pray, Lord, to give us a great meeting tonight. May the Holy Spirit direct me and guide me and help me, and may the Holy Spirit speak to hearts tonight. And we also pray your hand will be upon our young people's meeting with Carl and the young people. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We started out in the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11 with some of the heroes from the book of Genesis. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph are the ones mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. Then came Moses and the parents of Moses from the book of Exodus, and of course the other books in the Pentateuch, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then Joshua, the next book in the Bible. Last week we looked at Joshua and Rahab from the book of Joshua. And by now, the author of this epistle, who I believe is the Apostle Paul, but it's not stated here that Paul wrote it, but I think Paul wrote it. But anyway, the author now has made his point, and so he says, "And what shall I more say?" But yet he's not finished. Not finished just yet. And this brings us to the book of Judges tonight. We're going to start off with Judges here in 11:32. And three judges are mentioned: Gideon, Barak, and Samson. The names of these heroes are mentioned here in verse 32, these various heroes mentioned tonight, but nothing is said about their exploits. Whereas you'll notice in the previous verses that we looked at for the past few weeks, much was said about their exploits. For example, going back to the first hero mentioned, Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And then Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And then verse 7, Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, obeyed an ark. And then much is said about Abraham's faith, beginning in verse 8, and Sarah, all the way down to verse 19. Then verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And then by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. And then by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel, gave commandment concerning his bones. And then much is said about the faith of Moses, all the way from verse 23 to verse 29. So the other so-called heroes of the faith, much is said about their various exploits, things they accomplished. But tonight we're just going to see their names mentioned here in verse 32. And as I said, it starts off with the judges. Gideon is the first judge mentioned here in Hebrews 11, verse 32. Now, Gideon came from an unusual background. We read in Judges 6:11 that Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. And it was there that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, Gideon didn't think of himself as a mighty man of valor, but that's what the angel of the Lord said to him. At the time of Gideon, the Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. And why don't we look at that, Judges chapter 6. A little background to Gideon, one of the prominent judges. I reckon the two most prominent judges, and they're both mentioned in our text tonight, would be Samson and Gideon. I guess Samson is a little more well-known because of his strange and unusual behavior and his unusual strength and the foolishness of which he carried on with Delilah and other women. But Judges chapter 6, we get the background to the story of Gideon. If you look in verse 1 in Judges 6, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now that was a typical situation back in the days of Judges. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord would allow these heathen neighbors to come in and oppress them. In this case, it was the Midianites. In other times, it would be the Philistines or someone else. And they would oppress them. And then the children of Israel would repent. And they would cry out to the Lord. And then the Lord would raise up a judge. And the judge would deliver them from their oppression. And they would run off the oppressors. And then the children of Israel would get complacent and go right back to their wicked ways again. And then God would send some other heathen nation in to vex them and oppress them. And then they'd cry out to the Lord again. And then the Lord raised up another judge. And around it goes. You see this over and over again in the book of Judges. But here we see in Judges 6, Midian was the heathen nation that was vexing Israel. And notice the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. 7 years. 7 long years they were vexed and oppressed and mistreated by these idolatrous, wicked Midianites. And verse 2 says, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass." Pretty tough situation, huh? They weren't doing very well. The Midianites were really giving it to them, taking everything away from them. Verse 5, "But they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers to multitudes, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." There we go, see? Because of their misery, and because they were being oppressed, and because they had no food, and they were impoverished, they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord, in his grace and mercy, heard their cry and raised up Gideon. But what would happen after Gideon? Well, you know what happened. They went back to their old wicked ways again. And God raised up another judge. And that's the way we see it over and over and over again in the book of Judges. So here we have, they cried out to the Lord. Verse 7, "It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, because it had been nice, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord, your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell." Now watch this. "But ye have not obeyed my voice." The prophet's basically saying, you deserve what's happening to you. Disobeyed God, didn't do what God told you to do, and now look what happened. You got your punishment. For your rebelliousness and your disobedience and so on. See? So this is the background to the story of Gideon. Now, verse 11 says, "And it came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak," which was in Ophrah. I guess it's before she started her own TV show, I guess. "And that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites." He was trying to hide it from them, thinking they were going to take it away from them. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, Gideon could not understand why the Lord had allowed them to be in such a deplorable condition. He didn't understand that. Verse 13, Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Well, Gideon should have known better. The Lord was with them, but they weren't with the Lord. You see? And the Lord, the prophet already told them why this had happened, and God already told them over and over again. All throughout, you see that all throughout the Bible, days of Moses and the days of Joshua, God kept saying, if you go and serve other gods, this is what's going to happen to you. And so he said, the Lord be with us. Why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So Gideon wanted to know why the Lord allowed this to happen. Why the Lord had apparently forsaken Israel and delivered them into the hands of their enemies, the Midianites. Now Gideon was an unusual choice for a judge. Let's keep reading. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. So Gideon's protesting that, how could God use him? He's poor, from a poor family, and he's the least in his father's house. But the Lord assured Gideon that he would not fail. He said in verse 14, he said, have not I sent thee? See, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Well, thank God, Gideon believed God, and that's why he's in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, we're told, they were able to accomplish great things for God. By faith, so Gideon had faith. He believed God, and by faith, he did deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites. And verse 16, if you look at Judges 6:16, the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee. So the Lord assured, by the way, you notice it starts off with the angel of the Lord, and then it's the Lord. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. And oftentimes it just says the Lord, because it is the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord. Capital O-R-D, Jehovah. So the angel of the Lord would be the pre-incarnate Christ. We see that frequently in the Old Testament. And now we see in verse 16, the Lord said unto him. And verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him. You see? So it starts out in verse 12, the angel of the Lord, and then it's simply the Lord. Because the angel of the Lord is the Lord. It's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. They call it a Christophany or Theophany. Now, the Lord assured Gideon that he would not fail. And Gideon believed God. You see, it was his faith that's commended in Hebrews 11:32. And it's his faith that allowed him to defeat the Midianites. You see, they're outnumbered by the Midianites, greatly outnumbered. And the Midianites are fierce warriors. How are they able to accomplish that? By faith. God gave them the victory. See, just like the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midianites, the Lord gave them the victory over the Midianites. See? The Lord delivered them into the hands of the Midianites because of their unbelief, and God delivered them from the Midianites because of their belief. Specifically, Gideon's faith. So the Lord said unto him, verse 16, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And we read all about that in Judges chapter 7. I wish we had time tonight, but we don't have time. But it's a fascinating story. If you look at it real quickly, we see in chapter 7, verse 1, Gideon's real name was Drumabel. And it says here that then Drumabel, Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side by them, and by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. Now you think about that. They're already outnumbered as it was. And the Lord said, you got too many. Send some of those men home. We don't need them. Now, why did God say that? He was trying to show them God was going to give them the victory. It wasn't because they were great soldiers. It wasn't because of their military skills or their ammunition or their weapons. God was going to give them the victory. The people that are with you are too many to be to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. See? God knows where we are. God knows they're going to be bragging. And we really whooped those Midianites. Aren't we something? So God said, you got too many men here. Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned to the people 22,000. That's a lot. So 22,000 men went back home. They said, well, good, we can get a chance to go home. Let's go home. I'd rather go home than fight. And there remained 10,000. So 22,000, majority of them, took off, went back home, and only 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon in verse 4, the people are yet too many. Ha ha! He just knocked them down from 32,000 to 10,000, and I was saying, you still got too many. I want a much smaller army. And then he said, bring them down into the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be, that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth in the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So he just knocked it down from 32,000 to 10,000 out of 300. Wow. And the Midianites were like grasshoppers all over the place. More than a man can count, there's so many of them. And God gave him a great victory over the Midianites. Verse 7. The Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that laugh, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took victuals into their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. God already said, it's already done. I've already delivered them into thy hand. All Gideon had to do was just believe God. Just trust God. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down into the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Phurah, so I guess he still was a little fearful, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, the Midianites and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers, for multitude. In other words, just like a big swarm of grasshoppers, so many you couldn't even number them, so many of them up in the mountain there, along the valley, like grasshoppers, multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped. In other words, he worshipped God. He said, praise God, God is going to give me the victory. See? That encouraged Gideon. God allowed that to encourage him. Like a sign from God. That everything was going to be okay. And he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Fascinating story, the way they did it, with the pitchers and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers with the lamps inside the pitchers. And the Lord was trying to show them, just like he showed them earlier, the days of Joshua when they marched around Jericho, God was going to give them the victory in an unusual way. So Gideon is the first hero of the faith mentioned in our text tonight in Hebrews 11:32, and he was one of the judges, and there are four judges mentioned here in our text. Next, Barak is mentioned. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak. Barak actually preceded Gideon, though he's mentioned after him here in Hebrews 11:32. Barak is back in Judges 4 and 5. Gideon starts in Judges 6. So Barak actually lived before him, but he's mentioned after him here. Maybe because Gideon was more well-known and more prominent. I don't know, but in any event, Barak did live before Gideon, and his exploits are recorded in Judges 4 and 5. God spoke to Barak through Deborah, who was both a prophetess and a judge. Let's go to Judges chapter 4. Now some would say, why would God raise up a woman judge like Deborah? Well, there's different theories. I'll tell you one theory I have. I think Israel was so backslidden that God raised up a woman because all the men were slackers. And that's why. I think America today, people say, you think Sarah Palin should be president? I say, our country's so backslidden, why not? Might as well have a woman president. Can't find decent man. Look at all these men that are running, a whole bunch of clowns. So maybe you got to raise up her because the men are so weak. I don't know. I think it's not a good idea. It's not a good thing, to be honest with you, but that's what happened here. Deborah was stronger than most of the men, probably. And Judges chapter 4 and verse number 4. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent out and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. He sounded like he needed Deborah to kind of go leave before him. It sounds that way, doesn't it? Like she was stronger than he was. Okay, I'll go, homies, you go with me. So Barak said, I'll go if you go, but if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. This doesn't sound like much of a leader to me. But he's mentioned in the chat in Hebrews 11:32 as a man of faith. So this is a time of judges, a time of declension. And just like Samson mentioned, and he was certainly an unusual fellow. We'll say more about him in a few minutes. But Barak is mentioned here too. And the Lord told Barak and Deborah that he would deliver Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army. Now Jabin was the king of Canaan. Remember all these conflicts with the various Canaanites. Canaanites, Amalekites, Midianites, all the inhabitants of the land, the promised land. And Jabin was the king of Canaan. And the Lord told Barak and Deborah that he would deliver Sisera, the captain, into Barak's hand. Look at Judges 4:7. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera. So God was going to draw Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, into the hands of Barak. Now, the Lord used Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, to kill Sisera. Well, that's a fascinating story, too. If you look at Judges 4:17, well, look at Judges 4:9 first. Judges 4:9. Judges 4:9. And she said, Deborah said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Now, it sounds like she's talking about herself, but she's really not. She's talking about Jael. Jael's the one who gave him the victory. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, at the same time, let's drop down to verse 17. Now, Barak is pursuing after Sisera, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. But Sisera fled. Verse 17, howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet, he was running, to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. Probably said, lie down, take a little nap, everything's going to be okay. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk, and gave him to drink, and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come in and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here? That thou shalt say, no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. That's probably a big tent peg, what it was. And took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples. Well, she's a tough lady, huh? mean, she drove that nail right through his head. She nailed his head to the floor. And she fastened it onto the ground. Boy, you talk about getting a splitting headache, eh? But he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Well, he was fast asleep, I guess he didn't even know what hit him, you know? And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, "Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest." And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hands of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until he had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. So Barak is mentioned, but certainly Jael was a real hero in that story. She's the one who killed Jabin. Now, I mean Sisera, who was the captain of Jabin's army. Now, this is an unusual story, but then again, the book of Judges is full of unusual stories. The book of Judges was a time of declension and apostasy. But the point here is the Lord did not give up on Israel, even through those dark days. God was still working through Israel, though the people were far from God. And there was a remnant that believed. And Gideon and Barak are included and mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. The Lord raised up these various judges to deliver Israel from her enemies. And the next judge mentioned is Samson, one of the most unusual heroes of all time, one of the most controversial figures in the Bible. He's certainly the most famous and the most prominent of the judges. Samson is an enigma. He's mentioned here in Hebrews 11:32 as a man of faith, yet he's definitely one of the most carnal men in the Bible, a very carnal man. Judges 13:24 says the Lord blessed him, but Samson was certainly double-minded and unstable. In James chapter 1, verse 8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Samson was unstable in all his ways. He was definitely an enigma. Before men, Samson was fearless. He was the strongest of men. But before women, he was weak and could not resist them. Had a weakness for women. Life led to a lot of men's downfall, by the way. Seems like a lot of men have ruined their lives because of that. And of course, it wasn't too long ago we had President Clinton. It seemed like almost every day you open a newspaper, he's got some other scandal with a woman. Even before he became president, Jennifer Flowers and all that stuff came out. The man just couldn't resist. He just kept on chasing after bimbos and different types of floozies. And Samson was the same way, you see. He could not resist them, you see. Now, Samson was empowered by the Spirit of God, but he constantly yielded his body to the lust of the flesh. See? Back in 1939, Winston Churchill described the actions of the Russians as a riddle wrapped up in a mystery inside an enigma. He could have been describing Samson very well. Samson was a riddle wrapped up in a mystery inside an enigma. Samson was betrayed by Delilah. In fact, when everybody thinks of Samson, they think of Samson and Delilah. He lost, but she wasn't the only girlfriend he had, unfortunately. You read several chapters dealing with Samson, and he had a problem with other women, too. But he was betrayed by Delilah, and she led to his downfall. It was all over once he got mixed up with her. He lost his great strength, and he was captured by the Philistines. But despite his sins and frailties, Samson had genuine faith. That's why he's mentioned here in Hebrews 11:32. He had real faith. And God honored that faith, you see. And the Lord used Samson to defeat the Philistines. Judges 16. Why don't we go and look at that? Judges 16. Judges 16, verse 20. And she, meaning Delilah, said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not, or means he knew not that the Lord was departed from him. But, you know, there's some people like that, by the way. The Lord has departed from them. They don't even know it. They don't recognize it. You know? Even some preachers hate to say it. The Lord's departed from them. They still get in the pulpit and preach and think that they're going to preach God's message and preach the gospel. The Lord's departed from them. That's why there's no fruit. Nobody's getting saved. People leaving the church. It's dead because the Lord's departed, you see. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. Think about it, the great hero Samson, strongest man in the world. And they put out his eyes and turned him into a clown. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Huh? A great man like that grinding in the prison house. How did it happen? Because of his weakness for Delilah. See? Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I think that's kind of indicating God hadn't given up on Samson yet. See? Verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. See what happens when believers get backslidden? The devil's crowd has a big laugh, you see? They said, see, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their god. They praised Dagon, their false god. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they had a big party over this, laughing at Samson. The hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set it between the pillars. That's interesting. They set it between the pillars. You know the rest of the story, right? Samson prayed, Lord, just give me this one last victory. And the Lord answered that prayer. You see? And Samson said unto the lad that held them by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Of course, that little lad didn't know that. He was going to take the whole house down. And now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. Even the roof was packed with people. And beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. They put his eyes out, he was blind. And he wanted to be avenged for what they did to him. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He killed more people when he was dying than he did when he was alive. And then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtal in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. I've heard preachers say, and I believe there's probably something to this, that Samson judged Israel 20 years. And hopefully, most of those 20 years, he did some good things. That maybe his real bad deeds are recorded here in the book of Judges and doesn't mention all the good things he did. I hope there's something to that. It probably is. But nevertheless, he did make some big mistakes, including his relationship with Delilah, which led to his downfall. But he had genuine faith. And that's why he's mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Now, I mentioned before that this is not in strict chronological order. For example, Barak was before Gideon, right? And now we have Samson and Jephthah. Jephthah lived before Samson, you see? So it's not the same chronology you'd see in the book of Judges, the way it's listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Or even Samuel, for that matter, is mentioned after David. But, you know, Samuel was around before David. Samuel's the one who anointed David when David became king. So, if you read 1 Samuel, you're going to read about the birth of Samuel before you're going to read about David. But it's not in proper sequence here. Now, Jephthah lived before Samson. Jephthah also had a very unusual background. Judges chapter 11, verse 1 says he was the son of a harlot. Jephthah is best remembered for his rash vow made prior to his battle with the Ammonites. And I've heard a lot of theories about that vow, and I'm not going to give you the different theories tonight. I'll just say this. I don't think I don't think he performed a human sacrifice. I've heard people say that. I just don't believe that. But let's look at Judges chapter 11 to see a little bit about Jephthah. Jephthah is mentioned next after Samson, though he did live before Samson. We read about Jephthah in Judges chapter 11. He was the ninth judge. And then read about Samson in chapter 13 and following. Now in chapter 11, the same time, go down to verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer even unto thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, I cannot go back. I mean, he can't take back the vow he made. And verse 36, and she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, and I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to invent the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. So Jephthah is another unusual judge. Again, it was a very unusual time, the times of the judges. And it is interesting that 4 judges are mentioned here in Hebrews 11:32. And through faith, Jephthah subdued kingdoms. The kingdoms of the Amorites, the Ammonites, and the Ephraimites. So the judges is dealt with here in this verse. Next comes David. It says, of David also. David is mentioned before Samuel, though Samuel, as I said, was older. Now, it was Samuel who anointed David back in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Now, by faith, David is mentioned here. These are all notable heroes of the faith. David's faith is seen all throughout the Word of God. As a young lad, David defeated Goliath, the Philistine giant. Remember, David said to King Saul, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. And he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. 1 Samuel 17:37. So even as a young boy, David had great faith. He said, the Lord's going to give me the victory over Goliath. Remember, nobody else wanted to fight him. He was a huge giant. They were terrified of him. And he was threatening Israel and defying the God of Israel. And this went on for days and days. And David was the one who slew him. And how did he do that? Through faith. Through faith, you see. And throughout the book of Psalms, we see David saying over and over again, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. You notice that throughout the Psalms, David said he's trusting in the Lord, and only in the Lord only, trusting in God. David had great faith. So David is also mentioned here in this chapter, right alongside these other men from that era. The judges, of course, preceded David, and well, Samuel preceded David too, though he's mentioned after David. Now, Samuel is the last hero of the faith that's mentioned by name in this chapter. Prior to Samuel, there's many names mentioned, but there's no more names after Samuel. Samuel is the last name that's mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. Samuel was the last of the judges, and Samuel was also a prophet. So sort of a transitional period there. The end of the era of the judges, and of course the end of the theocracy, because Saul was the first king, and Samuel anointed Saul. So Samuel is a very pivotal figure during that transitional period from the end of the Judges, he's the last of the Judges, and then the beginning of the kingdom, beginning with Saul, then of course David, and so on. Samuel was a great man of prayer. When we read the Bible, we see that over and over again. Samuel was a great man of prayer. 1 Samuel 7:9 says, Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now, to be a great man of prayer, you have to have great faith, you see. Because God only answers the prayers of those who believe him and have faith in him. Otherwise, our prayers aren't going to get answered. You have to have faith. And so Samuel was a man of faith and a man of prayer. Samuel said to the people of Israel, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That's an important verse. That verse is telling us there are certain sins of omission as well as sins of commission. And neglecting prayer is a sin. Prayerlessness is a sin. Samuel said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. 1 Samuel 12:23. Well, that's not the end of the verse yet. And then we see, end of the prophets. Just says the prophets. There's a mention of my name, although so many of them. I guess he could have mentioned a few by name, but he doesn't. Many, many prophets in the Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Elijah, Elisha, so many. But none here are mentioned. None is mentioned by name here in this chapter. Now, tradition has it that Isaiah is referred to in verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Tradition has it Isaiah was sawn asunder, but they don't mention his name. And we'll say more about these final verses of the chapter next week, Lord willing. I'm not going to go any further tonight. I felt like verse 32 was plenty for one night with all these different men mentioned here. Undoubtedly, many great men and women have been sawn asunder, so it doesn't have to be Isaiah. But this chapter emphasizes that it was their great faith that enabled them to get through these trials and troubles. And that comes out very clear in verses 33 and following. Stop the mouths of lions and quench the violence of fire. How are they able to do that? By faith, you see. So we'll continue next week, Lord willing, in this series in Hebrews. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach.